There was a disturbing survey just done recently where convicted child predators in prison were asked a very specific question, and I'm going to call them that just for the sake of not getting censored on this episode. But the question was, what were the reasons in some of their cases where they couldn't complete the act, where they couldn't complete the abuse? And the disturbing part of this is all of them, every single one of them, only gave two reasons. There's two factors why a child predator will not commit the act. And 86% of the times is because the child is offering resistance. The term that was used was non-compliant. The child saw what was coming and they stopped it. 14% of the time, it was the parents that stepped in and stopped it. So this is what the episode is going to be about, is the harsh reality that 86% of our children are left alone to defend themselves against predators. And also, why is it in this day and age that only 14% of the parents are stepping in to stop it? So harsh, harsh topic. I'm going to go over what that represents in terms of a society, and try to help parents to boost that number up. It is not our children's duty to protect themselves against sexual abuse. But we do need to give them the tools to arm them with some kind of tools that we could protect them, because clearly we're not stepping in to protect them. So here it goes. For those who don't know me, my name is Danielle C. Baker. I am the founder and CEO of Being Connected, and I'm also a registered early childhood educator with over 20 years' experience in the field. I work with parents, teachers, and educators to navigate the realities of what parenting is, and we can all agree that this topic is a harsh reality that we all have to deal with today. But don't get it twisted. When you work with me, we put the child's needs first. So we're going to have to put the ego and pride aside, and let's get to it. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Talk to Danielle podcast. I am your host, Danielle C. Baker. And before we get started, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. And of course, with season two, this episode is brought to you by the Self-Esteem Doctor Online Academy with the amazing Dr. Simone Alicia. There is a wealth of resources on that website to help with your child's self-esteem, confidence, and so much more. So I will leave the link in the description for you to check that out. I highly recommend it. So we're going to jump right in with this really hard topic, and I will do my best to stay as objective as I can and to stay as calm as I can, because this is a topic that boils my blood. It always has, and it always will. Is the fact that this is our reality. This is a survey that was done just recently that 86% of our children are left alone to defend themselves against predators. Why is that happening? Why are children still a victim of this? And why is it that only 14% of the parents are stepping in? Right? We're not blaming the parents here. There's something to be done, and it is our duty to do it. It's not up to our children. It's not their responsibility to protect themselves from predators. It is our responsibility. So we need to switch that up. So yeah, these offenders, that these convicted offenders came clean, and so there really is just two reasons. And clearly, 14% better. That means that 86% of the parents are easier to groom than the children. This is our harsh reality as adults. And so we have to understand that the 86% of these children knew what was coming. They knew what the person was doing. They were aware of it. They were able to resist to it because of the way that they were taught about body positivity. And this is a major point. I'm going to get to it, but I'll just tell you basically for those 86%, these convicts did kind of explain that the child knew what they were doing, so they stopped. The child just flat out said, no, no is no. No, I'm not going to show you. I am not allowed to show my private parts. These are all words that children are taught in school. And I'll get on that in a little bit. So they knew that they had body safety rights. They have to be taught that. Children don't just know that they have a right to protect their bodies. They just trust adults. They have to. So keep that in mind. the children were aware of what a predator does to lure them in. So, and they were able to spot it and stop it. They knew about their body safety. They knew that there were zones that are not appropriate to touch or to show. And they flat out said it. No, you're not touching me. I'm not allowed to do this. This isn't right. You're not allowed to do this. They called them out on it. This is my body. Don't touch it. This is the main message that comes across. So it is important here to realize that the reason why these children were able to protect themselves is because they had the knowledge. They were taught about this. And this is why it is so important, clearly, for 86%. Clearly, the education that is done in schools are doing the right thing. And a lot of people are going to jump on that because I know that there is a lot of controversy about that kind of education, but body safety education in schools. But you have to understand that body safety, when we're talking about the reproduction side or gender and identity side, that is a fraction of what is taught in those classes. Body safety, teaching the children what to say when they think that they're being preyed on. All of that. No means no. You're not allowed to touch me. All of those things, the children need to be taught. And they're not being taught at home, clearly, because the parents are easily groomed as well. I'll get on that as well. So please understand when you're going against, or if you're fighting against body safety education in schools, just know that the part that is offending you is only just a fraction of what is being taught in school. So if you want to pull your children out of those classes, you have a duty. It is a duty for you to teach your child about body safety rights. Okay, so I just want to make that point. We have to respect parents' choices, but you have to understand that you as a parent are responsible for your child's safety. So you need to act accordingly and you need to educate your child on it. It has nothing to do with reproduction here. We're trying to prevent it, let's just say. It is also important to tell your children, and I'll go over all of that a little bit later, but an adult that asks you to keep secrets is not a safe adult. That is something that's also taught in school. And we can start very early. So when we're talking about kindergarten or even preschool, we're not talking about reproductive systems. We're not talking about how where babies come from. We're not talking about what do you identify as. We're talking about this is your body. And no one's allowed to touch it if you don't want to. Okay, that's the main message here. Body safety education is absolutely necessary. This is the proof. The reason why 86% of these children were able to save themselves is because they knew about this. So the parent education is also very crucial. We focus a lot on the child, what the child needs to do to protect themselves, and it's not for them to protect themselves, okay? But there's a lot to do in educating parents about protecting their children. Those 14% of parents, I mean, there's 86% of parents who did not step in and did not stop it on time. That was not their intention to get their child traumatized, right? It's never a parent's intention. In this case, ignorance is too expensive, right? Because now we're talking about your child's spirit being crushed. So let's understand that parents need to be educated about this as well. The realities are there. We'll just look at the media with what's happening. Let's keep that in mind, that in this situation, and this isn't a known fact, I will go right into it. Adults, parents are easier to groom than the children, because don't forget that a predator will groom their victim before they act. All right, it could take weeks, it could take months, it could take years, depending on the predator and depending on the children. So they will always befriend the parents before they act. We're talking about the real predators here. All right, just know that as a parent, you're being targeted first, you're being watched first, you're being talked to first, you're being groomed first, and you're oblivious to it. So Let's get right into that. When I was talking about the pride and ego, it's not easy to see that you fell into the trap, right? These are professionals. They know what they're doing. So let's get you ready for that. Okay, so it could take years, and this is a known fact in Canada. A predator could approach parents when the child is 3 years old and groom the parents right up until the child reaches the age of 7 or 8, where the parents now completely trust this person and let them go, let their children go with them. And that's where it starts. So just know that it's not just a one-time thing. You're being watched and you're being conditioned for years before your child will get preyed on. So that is the disturbing fact, as well as the fact that it's a really, that's why they're called predators. They will watch you when you don't know that you're being watched in public places. If it's a coach, a minister, a youth pastor. I'm giving examples. I'm not saying that this is the only demographic, but let's understand that children are kind of limited on where they're exposed in publicly. So those are usually the predators, some kind of person that they would normally trust and that clearly their parents trust. So it is important for children to keep getting this education on their body rights, body safety rights, and to know exactly how to stop it, how to recognize the signs of whatever a predator will do. And if you don't know that as a parent, you need to start learning. Okay. You need to teach your child this, what that could look like. First thing you need to know, an adult that asks you to keep secrets is not a safe adult. And I've had conversations with that with aunties and uncles who are like, yeah, but you know, I let my nephew or my niece eat stuff that they're not allowed to eat at home, and we keep it a secret. It could be a little harmless to you, but if the parents have made decisions to feed their children a certain way, if you're asking the child to keep a secret, you know it's wrong, and you're teaching the child that a safe adult, because you are safe, it's okay to keep secrets with a safe adult. So you are part of the problem as well. And that's hard. Again, ego and pride aside, as I'm an auntie, I love to spoil my I love to spoil my nephews and nieces. Keeping secrets, what are you teaching the child? Right? So it's very, very important. And we're not saying that every child is going to be preyed on, but most of them are. Most of them are. So for parents, I'm going to keep this episode very short because I don't want to snowball into some very heavy topics. But little tips to help you. And again, it is your responsibility and your duty to educate yourself on this. So start taking notes and start noticing things so that you're not the reason why your child is being preyed on. Just understand. And mostly now, anybody that works with children is called a vulnerable sector. They do require a criminal check or a police check. Just know that police checks, criminal record checks only means that the person didn't get caught yet. Okay. So keep that in mind as a parent wanting to save your child from living through abuse like that. It is okay to ask questions. And this is where the 14% falls into. The 14% of parents who stopped it, they're the ones who called out the predator. They're the ones who questioned them. They're the ones who put a little bit more pressure on them to say, why do you want to hang out with my child? Right? So ask, police check. Okay, that's nice. That doesn't tell me anything. And I used to tell the employees that I used to work with in daycares, and I used to tell parents that the police check only means that you didn't get caught. So ask questions if you don't feel, if something doesn't feel right. Your child will tell you if that person doesn't feel right. They may not say it verbally if they're too young, or they won't know how to say it, or they might be a little too scared to say anything, but non-verbally they will tell you. And you need to know what those non-verbal signs are. How is your child's body reacting, and mental condition reacting to this person? So yeah. The first things first. Don't just think that because somebody has a clear police check or criminal record check that they're safe. Okay, let's get that clear right away. It is never normal for an adult to want to hang out with a child. Okay, you could say all you want. I work with children for most of my life. I'm not going to take them home and hang out with them. I'm not going to offer to have sleepovers to give you a night off. That's not normal. Okay, so start asking questions. Again, it's different if it's auntie, if it's grandfather, grandmother, you know your family. But for a coach, for the neighbor, for another parent, just ask questions. That is your right as a parent to ask questions. You need to know the symptoms of the nonverbal symptoms of what a child is like when they have been a victim already, and you're just handing them back to this predator every single time, or the first signs that they're not comfortable around this. So the body language is very, they'll kind of retreat. They'll show more anxiety. Some of them will show other signs like a regression. They could have sleep terrors, nightmares. They could start wetting the bed again. They could get very jumpy when you're around them. And then just don't forget that, you know what that posture is when a child is ashamed or embarrassed or afraid. Keep an eye on that. Those are some clear signs. Or they're hiding behind you when that person is around. They're not feeling well. They have a headache. They have a stomach ache. They don't want to go to whichever event they're supposed to go to with these people. Those are the big signs that you need to start asking questions. Okay, listen to your child. Listen to your child. Your child is telling you they might not say it. I don't like that person. Sometimes they do say it, and you're like, oh, don't be ridiculous. They're so nice. Now, if your child is telling you they don't like them, trust them. Trust their instinct on that as well. Some people will say, depending on their family situation, they may say, we didn't have a choice. We had to leave them, our children with them, for whatever reason, right? It's sickness, homelessness, all sorts of, addictions, anything like that. But you do have a choice, okay? Just understand that your temporary situation can leave a permanent mark on your child. So there, you may feel like you don't have a choice, but ask questions and get some more information. There's a lot more resources out there that can help your child, right? So keep that in mind. I'm going to leave you with that. There is so much more that we could do, but I do invite you to reach out if you want to know some more information on how we can arm you to know more about how your child is being preyed on and how you are being preyed on. You're not the victim, but you're the first target to get to your child. If you have any questions, reach out. If you want more information on my program, reach out. I will get you all the information that you need. And don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. And don't forget to check out the Self-Esteem Doctor Online Academy to get some more resources to help with your child's confidence so that they can stand firm and say no. No means no. I'll leave you with that. Until next time, stay safe, stay awesome, and we'll talk soon.